irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, June 17th, as we return from a weekend. Probably uneventful for you, right, Danny?
Yeah, it was. What happened?
Yeah, tell him to come get the keys here.
Oh.
Because we told him to get the keys. Come on in.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought he was talking to me. I was like, what?
Yeah. Thank you, Casey. What's that?
I thought he was talking to me. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. Because I texted to him that we have a key up here.
Oh, okay.
So he wasn't downstairs.
No, he wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. But at any rate, so we just gave away that we have guests here, and we'll bring them on in just a moment. They're so nice. I don't know. I mean, they're so polite and nice. I don't know how to behave, you know?
Yeah.
But so we're going to have a great show. Did you say, I sent you an email with their movie. I don't know if you got a chance. I just emailed it.
So you were in the car. Yeah.
But it's a cool movie. And
yeah, I can imagine.
I remembered only the last minute you said movies, you got to email me that.
Yeah, everything else I don't care
stuff.
About.
Exactly. So how was your weekend? Was it eventful?
No,
not eventful at all.
No.
Okay. You sent me a sad fucking text on Friday while I was taking a nap.
Yep. I got fired, so.
You got fired.
Yeah. No, I'm lawyered up. They're fucked.
So really?
Yeah. I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for them to do this. I've been counting down for them.
Do you know why?
So
you're saying it's been building up or something?
Well,
or?
I mean, I have a text from one of the managers that I was cool with. And she, months ago, has been like, they're looking for any reason to get rid of you.
Mm.
And she's constantly always telling me that. So on Thursday last week, they came up to me and asked me if I would cover a shift on Saturday and Monday because I wasn't scheduled. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. I have nothing going on. And because they were firing the new girl. And she's like this tall, really, really skinny black girl. I mean, I didn't vibe with her. Like, there was just no chemistry between her and I. But she it's a hostess position. It's not right. Hard to understand how to seat people at a table. But they said they didn't fit. Her look didn't fit the vibe, a.k.a. they fired her because of her looks. So I work with her on Monday, and on Friday she got fired. So Friday I'm like food shopping, blah, blah, blah. A phone number calls my phone, and I'm like, I don't know who the fuck that is. I'm not answering, you know? So then they leave me a voicemail. It's the corporate manager that says I'm suspended indefinitely because they received a complaint that one of the employees saw pornographic images on my cell phone.
That's the reason?
That's the reason.
Wow.
And they're opening an investigation.
Good.
And
let
I said,
them.
Open the motherfucking investigation.
Yeah, open it.
But so I called back. I said, so let me get this straight. The girl that you fired is clearly the one who filed the complaint because I work with her on Monday. So because she saw something on my phone that she shouldn't even be looking at to begin with.
Right.
I'm getting fired for that.
Right.
I go,
how does that affect your performance?
And if it made her so uncomfortable, why didn't she immediately leave the host stand, walk to the office, complain? She waited until she was fired. That's called retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
I go, if you guys really want to do this, I can do this. Because I've come to work. I've had the owner's son. Mind you, the owner of the restaurant is the owner of Guess. And he was part of the Me Too movement. He got accused by like 50 million people.
Really?
Yeah. So he only comes to the restaurant like once or twice a month. So I'm like, if you really want to go down this road, like they've commented on my ass. I think 4 or 5 men in the job have asked me if my ass is real, my tits are real. You really want to do this
wow.
for $14 an
you
hour?
You stick it to them.
Yeah.
You stick it to
I'm
them
like
big
to the
time.
Point where I'm like, I'm not a kid.
Yeah.
Don't treat me like I'm a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
I've dealt with this because I haven't had a job in 2 fucking years.
Right. And it's not just a kid, but maybe because you're a woman also, they feel they can do this, you know?
Well, no, not only that, they follow me on Instagram. So they think because I have a podcast called Swallow It and I talk about sex that you can bring that to the workplace.
Right. And what the hell does that have to do? You think people that come to the restaurant know who you are
exactly.
or they really give a shit?
Exactly.
No, this is like off, you know, this is totally unrelated and you can prove it.
Oh.
You know?
And I was smart this time around because I told you I had this experience in Boston when I worked at a nightclub.
Mm.
And I didn't know how any of that worked. And then I got a lawyer and he explained to me, like, when this stuff happens, you got to keep a record. I knew from week 2 they had an issue with me there.
Right.
So every single time someone said something to me, I've been writing it down. Right. Any text messages, anytime the owner commented on my Instagram pic, screenshot.
Right.
Like, I'm prepared for this. Like,
right.
I've been waiting for you guys to do this. So thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, it was uneventful. I've had anxiety about it just because I feel sure. like this is not what I deserve. You know?
I know.
All because someone saw a video I sent a guy on my phone. What the fuck does that have to do with you?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Wow.
Yeah, so that's what I've been dealing with.
Yeah,
welcome to the show, guys.
Yeah, welcome to the show, guys. We might as well just get to our guest right now because you bummed us out completely.
No, don't be bummed out. I woke up in a good mood.
No, I know. I just feel bad because to see shit like this still happening in society, you know, in the business world, you know, that people treat women like this, you know, and this is obviously, I mean, like they've wanted to get rid of you for a long time.
Since I started.
Yeah. I mean,
they hired me knowing I had ass and knowing I had tattoos. And then all of a sudden it was an issue. I had both. I'm like, you guys hired me knowing what I look like. So right. I'm confused by all of a sudden now. So they would send me home. I remember one time I wore a bodysuit with a belt and they sent me home and they're like, your ass looks too, literally, they told me my bottom looks too big. You need to put on looser clothes.
Yeah.
So then a white girl that I work with comes in with a V-neck all the way down, a mini skirt and thigh high boots. I go, is she getting sent home?
Yeah.
No.
Really?
I'm like, all right, but. Yeah. So.
That shit happens.
So
anyway,
what is this restaurant that I need to avoid? Yeah.
Wally's in Beverly Hills.
Wally's in Beverly Hills.
Now she can freely say it.
Locked. Blacklisted.
Yeah.
Well, we're joined by two awesome guys, I can already tell. We have Jay Raja and Roth Rind. Welcome to the show, guys.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
They're like, are you talking to us? Yeah. Yes, I'm talking to you.
Yeah. I thought the other Jay and Roth hanging out in the lobby, and we just didn't show them.
There you go. Yeah. Awesome. Are you guys visiting L.A. or do you live here?
Visiting, right? Because you said somebody told you that it was going to be hot, right?
I'm currently visiting. Roth lives here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I live in Burbank.
Okay.
Oh,
Burbank's
cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
And how did you guys connect? Was it here, somewhere else?
No, it was in Northern California, actually.
Really?
Yeah, actually, Jay, you want to fill him in on the
Yeah, path? Both of us are actually from NorCal originally, the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Roth's from the mountains. I'm from, like, the suburbs, Santa Clara. It's about an hour south of San Francisco.
I lived in San Jose for, like, 2 years.
Oh. Yeah, so we know the area.
Yeah.
Kind
of. Yeah, so
what
you know
part of San Jose?
Downtown, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Downtown has gotten way less deathy now.
Yeah, way less deathy.
I didn't. Yeah. I don't know why. It's a long story why I was there, but I was like, I hate this place.
Yeah,
it's not very. It's not very. Oh, yeah. They had really good burritos like on every corner though. For some reason.
Oh yeah, really? Lavix, the orange sauce.
Yeah,
I think that's what keeps people going up there. Yeah. You know,
it's the only thing.
Yeah, like, my life sucks, but I know I can get a good burrito. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's go all the way up there
for like $1.50 too. It's like so cheap.
Yeah, let's go up there for a friggin' burrito. You know, we have some. Many out here, it's unbelievable.
Right.
Would you say LA
is the best in La Vix? You go to 2 a.m., $3 breakfast burrito.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. After being at the bar all night.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
$3 is
sounds
great.
Good.
Yeah. And they're stuffed.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like a good burrito.
Yeah.
So you connected up north. And so let's introduce you. You're both filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a movie that came out or coming out. What's the process? Where is it in the process? Is it released already? Your film?
It's publicly doing its film festival circuit, and it's going to be showing at Palm Springs Short Fest later this week on the 19th.
Wow. Yeah. So there's a reason to go to Palm Springs, you know?
Yeah.
And so this is a short film, so you have to do the circuit and everything. And is this going to be available somewhere where people eventually can see it, or you have to go to the theater to see it?
We'll see.
Yeah.
Depends on what the future holds, but we hope to have it public in the future.
Well, is it a short or a feature?
Short film.
Oh, okay.
It's a short film.
Okay,
yeah. You know how Catherine sends all the winners here, so there you go.
Yeah.
You know, I told them that. I said, expect good things.
Yeah.
Catherine's great.
Yeah, awesome. She's got good, that's the publicist, and she's got good energy about her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, so how did you meet? Did you meet in to collaborate, or were you friends before? How did this all come down?
I went to a junior college up there at some point in my past, and Jay had come up and met a mutual friend that I knew there, and was I think you were auditing a film class or something, just like
picking up
a class.
I was finishing up because I went to school down here actually in Orange County for film, but I didn't pass one of my classes, and I didn't want to stay for another whole semester. It's very expensive,
damn.
So I just went back up to NorCal and went to the junior college to finish it up.
I see.
History of Film Part 1 dogged me for years.
See, but everything happens for a reason, because if you didn't do that, you probably wouldn't have met him.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. That is actually also why I got, like, you know, I was so bummed a lot in college and didn't go to class, specifically because I had a feeling that I'd have to retake this class and then meet Roth.
Yeah, see how things all happen, right?
I had a vision of the future, and I was like, I got to do this. I got to tank. I'm going to get a D in German. I'm doing this for...
So it's a plane. It was a plane.
Yeah.
Wait, so you took a German class?
Yeah, I know. Why? I don't sprocken any Deutsch. I'm no good at it.
Yeah, well, you're just like, hey, let me take German for no reason whatsoever.
They required us to take language courses. And at the time, I'd already taken a bunch of Japanese, which was another strange decision. And I was like, I totally can learn German.
Did you fail Japanese too? Or?
No. I actually did okay.
Oh, so that seems that seems like a pretty difficult
very
language.
Very difficult, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when I try it, it's very hard. But, yeah. You know, people tell me it's actually not that bad.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like when I hear, I probably shouldn't say that because I don't know if they're speaking Japanese, but anytime I hear anyone speak Asian, I know that sounds terrible.
Yeah, right.
I feel like it sounds really complicated and really fast.
Yeah, they're like much Mandarin, Cantonese, they seem impenetrable. Like, I'm impressed
really,
when people
the Chinese.
Speak it. Yeah, they're children who speak that language. I think that's incredible. It's a very tough-sounding language.
But I mean, they probably grew up listening to it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so they speak. So Chinese kids speak good Chinese.
Yeah,
as expected.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's why. They're much smarter than me.
Yeah. Well, we'll move on from more obvious things to the next step. So you guys met. What were you doing at the time? You were going to school?
No, so I was already out. I was doing mostly like corporate video stuff. Anything that like kept me behind a camera doing.
So
something.
So you went for film as well in school?
Yeah.
I see. Okay, so you guys have a common interest. Similar reasons why you went to school.
Mm-hmm.
And what school did you go to in Orange County?
It's called Chapman University.
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, no?
Yeah, it's by
Chapman's
Disneyland.
Awesome.
Yeah,
when you go to Disneyland, you can check it out.
Yeah, one of these days, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the Park Hopper, actually.
I'm sure. There's like tours, special bus tours to Chapman University.
Cars Land and then College Land. It's pretty good. Yeah.
Very cool. So, okay, so how this... So this was a junior college and then in college. Mm. And so... What happened since then? I mean, you guys obviously didn't just come out of college now, right?
No. Well,
we
met, stayed friends. We were working together. We actually had a company together that we've been doing like commercials and that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay.
And every chance we got, it was like, okay, we had some money. Let's go pour it into another film.
Yeah.
We're going to eat Top Ramen for a little while and make some more money, and then we're going to pour it into another film.
Wow.
Kind of the endless cycle.
So you guys financed your projects?
So yeah, originally we were financing all of our projects, and this last one, the Bunbury Encounter, we are very blessed to have people who believed in the project and helped back it.
Yeah.
Well,
it looks like a pretty big deal, you know. I mean, it's a great movie. I saw the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I hope to see the whole thing too. And obviously, it's not too demanding. What, 20 minutes? 15, 20 minutes?
15 minutes.
15 minutes.
15 minutes. Yeah.
Wow. And you probably have to squeeze in a lot because it's seems like kind of a complex story, because not only do you have the relationship between the characters, right? The romantic relationship, right? Because they're married.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you also have the story of what they're going through.
Right. Jay, actually, you want to break down the TLDR of
The
Bunbury Encounter is?
So the movie is The Bunbury Encounter, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's Bunbury? Is that their name?
Yep.
Okay. So, you see, I did some research, man. And I usually don't, but... But, no, so, okay, so we know what that means. Now, so tell us a little bit, just a gist of what the story is about.
Yeah, so Bunbury Encounter follows a mixed-race couple. It takes place in 1961, and Jackie and Terry Bunbury, they're on a road trip when they have this, like, paranormal experience, and they can't really explain it, so... You know, what does a couple do in 1961? Something weird happens. Yeah, we'll call the cops.
Yeah.
So the cops are the next day, and they bring with them a family, like a family therapist, like someone who's going to work with families, especially like couples and who may be having some problems. And they start getting questioned, and they start kind of finding out that maybe these people aren't who they say they are.
Really? Wow.
Wait, the therapist or the
therapist,
couple?
Yeah.
Oh.
The therapist and the cops.
Yeah.
See, there's ulterior motives.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Mm. Wow.
That's a lot for 15 minutes.
I know. Plus, you have some effects and everything in the movie, right?
Yeah, there's a whole, like, I mean, it's not going to spoil it. It's a whole alien abduction sequence pretty early on in the movie. And it's a big visual effects sequence. And Roth did all the visual effects
really?
On his own, mostly on that laptop.
Mm-hmm.
How cool. Now I'm dying to see it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had this old MacBook Pro that it was slowly melting as I was doing the visual effects. So it'd be like any change is like, okay, wait for 30 minutes.
Yeah, right?
Oh, damn.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Let's see what
still
happens.
Those days.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's not like that anymore, I thank God.
Yeah. So now, and how long had you been doing effects and stuff like that at that point? Had you practiced with other stuff before?
Yeah. I kind of...
Obviously, you can't just start at something like this.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start from scratch.
Yeah, it was kind of... by necessity, one of the first short films I did, where I met a lot of the people that we actually got to work with, was a war film, and I had no idea how I was going to do a bunch of these explosions and bullet hits and that kind of stuff. So by just like sheer will, I had to like muscle through.
Right.
How to do this.
So you went through all the 3D software and everything, and had to learn all that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's a lot.
You see, I did that, believe it or not, I did it back in 1990. I opened a computer animation company with Macs alone, you know, just with a Mac and some off-the-shelf software.
Wow.
Then I invested in like $5,000 at the time I spent on software that was in beta version, but it made me a star overnight.
Wow, really? Okay.
You know, yeah.
Because the guy that had it.
Exactly, you know, and not many people knew about it. So I was able to create a lot of realistic stuff for the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the time, it was pretty advanced. And became very successful with that. So, but I know how difficult it is and time-consuming to learn to do all these special effects, you know?
Well, what's really cool about how we did this is we wanted to make sure we blended some realism with the visual effects.
Right.
So... actually, all the backgrounds are miniatures.
Really?
So,
wow.
Built in the garage. We just got in there and
look
shot
at that.
All
I mean, they're all like, you know, doing it all themselves.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Very cool.
Because
many people, short films don't have like a big budget or they don't get, it's more like about more drama, you know, people
like
talking and stuff, right?
Yeah.
But you actually put a plot in here where it requires effects and everything and you guys pulled it through in 15 minutes.
Yeah. Well, originally, some of the earlier drafts of the script didn't even have the alien abduction. It was all taking place
in like one room. Basically. Yeah.
Really? So it would have been like alluded to or something?
Yeah, like
but you wouldn't
telling
have shown
the story.
It.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it's probably better that you put the alien abduction
in.
Yeah.
100%.
It's much more exciting that way. It takes away some of the ambiguity.
Yeah.
I love UFO stuff, man.
No, you don't.
Why?
You're full of shit.
Why? No, I love movies about it. I just said.
I feel like we always have this conversation and you're not for UFO anything.
No, I'm just saying that I don't think they exist. But it doesn't mean I don't like movies about UFOs. Are you kidding me? I love movies.
I feel like we have this conversation like once a month.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind was my favorite movie, you know?
I've never seen that.
Of the Third
I've
Kind.
I've seen The Fourth Kind. That movie fucked me up for life.
Oh, yeah. This
You've
one,
seen that?
What's The Fourth Kind?
It's so messed up.
Is that like aliens too?
Yeah, it's supposed to be based on a true story. They put like real footage at the end of it of like someone who claims they got abducted, and I'm like scarred for life.
Is that the one with like Mia Jovovich?
Yeah. From
she was
Resident
in a lot
Evil,
of movies.
Yes.
And,
Fifth Element.
Yes. Yeah,
okay,
that movie has scarred me for life. I'll never forget it. I'll never watch it ever again.
Yeah.
But it's definitely stuck with me because now I'm like, I believe that person.
Yeah.
Because they have like real footage at the end. I was like, I believe her.
Yeah.
I really do. Either that or she just killed her whole family and like got rid of the body really well.
That happens too. Totally happens in real life, right?
What, killing the
whole family?
Yeah.
I feel like those are possible scenarios.
Yeah.
Or like maybe the aliens did help her kill. And they're like, oh, we're aliens. We're super good at hiding bodies.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Well, she claimed in the movie that her kids got abducted and then the aliens came back for her.
Yeah.
And that she had like a brief encounter. And then there was like one of her friends that had a brief encounter, but like wouldn't have her back.
Right.
Because he didn't want to be looked at like crazy. But I guess he was there and was like, I plead the fifth or whatever. So then, like, maybe she's telling the truth.
So you're a believer then?
I do believe in UFOs for sure.
Yeah. So let me ask you this though. How did the idea come about? Who wrote it? Is it something you did together the whole way, or did you take different roles in producing and making the film?
Just by virtue of us working different positions, we did different things, but it was like a collaboration from the start, you know?
Yeah.
Both of us are really interested in that kind of that time period, especially in, you know, where we're from in the Bay Area. There's a lot of change and a lot of stuff going on. Mm. And this was a little bit different, but both of us have always loved sci-fi. We've done a bunch of sci-fi. I think half the things we've done, honestly, is science fiction.
Really?
Yeah. Even down to like music videos. We're like, oh, actually, I think.
Yeah, actually,
multiple science fiction,
like dancing
music
aliens and stuff.
Yeah, in some sense, actually, I think technically Adara is an alien. So this was all the way back in I think mid 2016 when we first like had a draft of the script, and back then it was literally just like a monologue, almost like a scene study for one actor, like just for the lady, just kind of focus on her telling the story. And then it just kind of grew and grew. And then at some point, Roth was like, Jay, why are we not showing the abduction scene? You know, what we're talking about. And I was like, I have no idea.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of when we're like, okay, this is now a movie that we want to make. And we're
trying
to do it.
Right.
It's been a long process. You know, obviously we've been doing things even in between.
How long?
Like 2016, June was when I wrote the first draft. So it's been
years.
Yes.
Years,
now 2019 is what we're in.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Almost 2020. That's 6 months away.
Yeah.
Oh, makes me sad thinking about it.
That's great. We're going to have the new 20s.
Yeah. Yeah.
People say, you know.
But it's just like, that's how fast time is going. And like, I feel like we just celebrated New Year's Eve.
I know. And we're like living in the future, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're talking about the 60s. I was born in 1960. And I remember growing up and I thought the year 2000 seemed so distant when I was like 12, 13 years old, you know?
Yeah.
And now in 2020, man.
Yeah, and everyone thought aliens were going to come and take us out.
Everything,
you know?
After Independence Day, everyone was just like waiting.
Yeah.
People still do think aliens are going to come. So did you write it together, the story, or did one of you come up with the story?
Jay wrote the story, but when it went draft by draft, it was more just like, hey, Roth, what do you think of this idea? And he just kind of spits things out, and I'd be like, yeah, I like that. So there was collaboration on the notes, but like,
that's a cool process.
Through,
did you like smoke some weed? Like, how'd you get, like, how did you?
can we talk about this on the show?
Yeah.
Why
you
not?
You can talk about anything on the show.
You should have already figured it out by now.
Can I say the F word?
You can say anything on here.
I think there's various parts of the creative process that we always explore.
A little bit of Jameson, a little bit of weed. I get it.
I think that's honestly, I definitely, you know, written scripts like, you know, just me and a buddy just getting really, really hammered.
Right.
Because at that point you have no inhibitions, and I think it's a really important part about being creative, especially when you're writing a first draft, is you can't be worried about what do people think.
Right.
Am I allowed to do this?
Right.
None of that stuff. You just have to write what you
feel. That's true, and all your inhibitions sort of go away.
Yeah.
And you're more. I know. I mean, I'm the first one to advocate this shit because I smoke all the time.
Actually,
so I agree with you.
When we were getting a pickup shot for this film, we came all the way down to LA to get a shot with the car. And we needed the car for 10 minutes, but we had to rent it for the whole day. And we knew coming down, we're like, well, can we shoot anything else with this car? And I think we were like kind of throwing around some ideas, but we needed a script, and we still were a day out from like shooting with this car. And we're like, okay, we don't know if we're going to actually do anything. And Jay and our DP from this film, Jerome Stolle, stayed up all night basically just drinking and writing the script. And I think, was it like 4 a.m. is when you guys like stumbled to bed, and then it's like 6 a.m. we're going to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And it turned out pretty good.
Yeah, the movie turned out great.
But that's a good idea. We still have the car, you know. Let's do something
with
it, right?
We're junkies for making movies. Can't help it. Like any opportunity we get, we try and make something.
Right.
That's amazing. You know, I mean, that's really cool that you're devoted to this, and you're still young. There's so much more you can do. You know.
Are you guys gonna be like a tag team for the rest of your life? Like, if he makes a movie, you're going to make a movie together, like a team.
Yeah, like, why not? You know, it works.
So. Yeah.
It works for them, you know?
I don't know. I think it'd be cool if maybe in, like, 15 years, we had, like, this dramatic falling out. And then in 20 years, reunion tour.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, right?
That's the way to really do it.
Are you guys going to like fake a falling out?
Yeah, that would be better.
For like a year?
We'll be sitting back at our house watching it unfold on the news. Yeah. Just like, look at this.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hey, we can't meet up in public because then, you know,
then
yeah.
We fake it.
Yeah, they'll know.
Oh, God, that's too complicated, man. Yeah.
Whenever you meet up for lunch, you got to shave the beard.
Oh, no.
Put a hat on.
Yeah. That's why I wonder. Whenever I see a person with like a hat and sunglasses, I'm like, are you a celebrity? Just like anyone with the baseball cap.
Yeah.
And
true, right?
Well, you definitely see them around LA where it's like the hat, big sunglasses tucked down. Yeah, when they're walking. Yeah.
I've met Leonardo DiCaprio like 4 times, and every single time I met him out, it's the baseball cap, a hoodie like all the way up. I'm like, I can still see your eyes. Yeah. I know it's you. Let's get out of here.
Did he come like dressed like that to the restaurant too? Oh, you didn't see him at the restaurant.
No, I've seen him out. I've seen him not at the club, a bar. Every single time I've seen him, I saw him one time at the club. Oh. But every time I've seen him, it's been at a bar, and he always has a baseball cap like all the way down. I'm like, I can still see those beautiful eyes of yours.
Is he hanging out like by himself?
No,
with
he's
the
with a
hat down.
No, he's
or
with
is
a,
he's like with his entourage.
He's with his entourage, like his crew of dudes, and like some of them are actors. So I'm like, we know it's you. See you.
Yeah, but as well put on like a sign on himself. You know? I'm Leo. You know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well. And that's how we know it's not Leo. He's like, oh, he's advertising. Yeah. He is definitely not Leo.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So the film is called The Bunbury Encounter. Let's talk a little bit about the cast and stuff. How did you guys come up with the leads for the? Who are the leads? Let's acknowledge first of all.
Yeah. Jackie is played by Lauren McFall. Her husband Terry is played by Skipper Elikwachi, and the evil Dr. Bancroft. Oh, should I give away that he's evil? Okay, the Dr. Bancroft.
Oh, I didn't even know there's a fucking doctor. Now you give away the whole movie.
He gave his job too. Okay, guy named Bancroft.
That's all right.
Is played by Ross Turner. Yeah, so we were very lucky to have our whole cast. And
wow,
how'd you find them? You just put up like a casting call on Craigslist or something?
Not Craigslist.
We never know.
Yeah, we went up a stage. You know, something called Backstage.
Right.
And that's how we did a lot of our casting. I think Ross is actually local to the Bay Area, and Skipper's from there originally, but he was living in L.A. And Lauren. I don't know if she's from LA, but she was living in LA at the time. I think now she's in New York.
Right.
So we had to kind of pull people from a couple different places.
Right.
But we saw a lot of people, especially for the Jackie Bunbury role. Like, I must have seen like 150, 200 reels from women, and we did like multiple rounds of auditions. It was a very hard role to fill. Which was surprising to me because I thought it was pretty straightforward. But
right.
I thought you were pushing like 400 people at one point.
Yeah, in terms of number of people we'd like reviewed, like and like checked their resumes and gone through, and that's like not even the audition process.
Right,
it was insane.
Now let me ask you: so when you talk about casting, do you already in your mind know what you want?
Yeah, like why did you decide a black man, white woman? Why not a black woman, white man?
Well, that's actually, I mean...
No, that was not my question, but okay.
I always
wonder that, because if you look at, like, commercials and stuff now, it's always a black man and a white woman. It's never the reverse.
Right.
You rarely see a black woman with a white man.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever.
Okay, go ahead, so...
That's actually a really good question. Because, I mean, the movie deals with racial tensions.
Yeah.
And,
It's just easier to have racial tensions with a guy, right?
Well, in the sense that there is, like, there's some pretty, like, gross narratives, especially at that time, about black men are like, you know?
Mm.
And, like, any men of color were seen to be untrustworthy.
Right.
And
probably still are, honestly.
Kind of. Yeah, you can't make generalization, but...
Are you saying they're viewed that way, or you're saying
they
are?
Yeah, in real life. No,
oh, okay.
In real life.
Like, I'm a man of color and I'm untrustworthy, but that doesn't speak for all by any means.
That
viewpoint is still, like, unfortunately, still kind of out there.
Right.
And that was kind of key to what occurs in the story, is that mistrust and that kind of, like, that seed that would have totally been not even considered racist or weird back then,
right,
as having that mistrust for men of color.
Right.
So it was kind of important that you had to have that relationship that way.
Right.
Because it would be a totally different movie if she was a woman of color
and
he was white, then the mistrust goes towards her, and they have their own whole set of like terrible racist views on women of color back then.
Right.
So it, it could have been another movie, but it just, it's so interesting how just the setup of what color they are and you know, what sex they are kind of dictates how
the movie goes. I hear you and I can totally see how much tension would be created in a situation like this, you know. I mean, you could have made it like an all black and all white couple.
Yeah, that happens a lot too.
But that, yeah, but that would not have made for the story that you're trying to tell.
Right.
Well, also this is kind of loosely based off of a true story as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I want
to
say,
somebody like came forward and said they had an alien encounter.
You'd get a kick out of this because they got recordings for this too.
Yeah. Okay,
actually,
so
the
now like I'm interested
about this is in the trailer. We pulled original audio recordings of them talking about this story that happened to these two people.
And so, what was the end result for these two people? They were just labeled like lunatics.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, both of them maintained that it happened to them, and unfortunately, the man passed away. I think in the mid or late 60s. Kind of early on, and the woman,
he was young.
Yeah, well, they were already kind of an older couple. I think they were in their 40s in real life.
Right.
It happened over in New Hampshire. This was in 1961 as well. It was called the Hill Incident. Betty and Barney Hill, and they had not too different of in terms of the abduction. Like they saw a light on the road, and they got out of their car, and they had like lost time. And, like 8 hours passed. They didn't know how. They called the police. Police are like, well, we don't really know what you're talking about.
Right, right.
But then they went through hypnosis sessions. And in during those sessions, it came out what they went through on that spaceship.
Oh, wow.
And it's pretty interesting because...
And both of them had, like, similar stories?
Yes.
That's crazy. Yeah. I just, like, Googled it, too. The first alien abduction account described.
Yeah, it kind of set the narrative.
Barney and Betty Hill.
They're the ones. Yeah. It set the narrative of what alien abductions would go like. Now, I'm to be perfectly honest, I'm a skeptic, like very like down to the bone skeptic. So I do believe that there is an explanation, but it's very creepy. And because you can't say they made it up, you listen to them on the hypnosis. That's pure terror. They did not make any of this up. What do they experience? We don't know.
Right, right. No. And that's what you... Your movie is about, and now I really want to see it.
Yeah, yeah. Know? Now I'm interested because I was like so messed up by the.
Should we play the trailer since they have that audio on there? You think that would be cool?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so let's do that. Let's play the trailer real quick. Listen to this.
They were coming home when they saw a light in the sky. Then the missus started getting these peculiar dreams about being taken aboard a spacecraft. Then they went to this psychiatrist, I believe, and by means of hypnosis, he tried to extract from their minds
exactly what had happened.
Sessions tended to substantiate this whole occurrence.
Wow.
The music was really good there, by the way.
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Ollie Helmelin, who did our music composition. He's incredible.
Yeah, that sounded good there. I pay attention to that stuff. I went to Men in Black yesterday, and I was like paying attention to the music.
Yeah, how was it?
Have you seen that?
No. Is it good?
I went in there thinking it was going to be trash.
Yeah.
Because I just automatically, I'm just like, Will Smith's not
Will Smith, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's actually quite entertaining. There wasn't a moment in time where I like regretted going.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like they
MIBI.
Didn't. Yeah. It's MIB International. I mean, first of all, he's just so hot. Like, I could watch him.
Liam Neeson, right?
Not even. No, Chris.
Oh.
No.
Liam's hot in like an Irish brogue kind of way.
He just had like a cool voice. Like he has like a cool voice. But they didn't really like build her character. Like it's kind of like she just found them and then went straight into being an agent. Like the original Will Smith got scouted out. He had to do like all the training. It was like entertaining watching him like fuck up all this shit.
Right.
Yeah. And
right.
they just like basically she got recruited, put on her uniform. It was like that was it. I was like, and they didn't even have the theme song.
Yeah, right?
What?
No. The Men in Black theme song is not in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, I get with everything that's going on, they're doing like the woman empowerment stuff. But like there's one point where Chris Hemsworth is like, Men in Black. But then he stares at her, he goes, Men and Women in Black. Like they're making it throughout the movie, even like the head alien, like the bad alien in the movie is like a woman. And she's like basically saying how women run. I think they put a little too much. Feminine, yeah,
it?
Yeah. I think they put a little. I mean, by all means, I get it, but it was just I gave it a 7 out of 10. I didn't regret going. If it was on like TBS or TNT when I was cleaning, I'd watch it again.
That would bump it up to an 8, you think?
If what?
If it was on TBS.
This song?
No.
This song?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not even in the credits, right? Nothing. Here. Yeah.
Right?
Man. Not even in the credits.
Really?
Nope.
Was it different people making it? But it's the same franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, man, this throwback to like Will Smith when he did all these awesome theme songs for movies. Okay, Wild Wild West was so good.
That movie was horrible though.
It was so good.
That was like one of the worst movies ever made.
It was so trash. Really? I loved it. Yeah.
I'll sit and defend Wild Wild West. Yeah. I won't be proud of it. I won't be proud of it, but I'll sit
I literally watched
it.
That and was like, oh my god.
Engine powered spiders, guys. Yeah. Come on.
So I couldn't see that. I could watch that.
I mean, the only thing they had of Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones in that movie was a picture in the office of them.
Yeah, that's it.
That was it. Yeah, I was like, no cameo? No. I was expecting, I was like, please, one of you, just something, anything, not even a single second.
No, that's probably, it's not going to do very well, you know? It's sort of like trying to milk the idea, but not having the original ingredients. Like, can you imagine Toy Story 4 if they changed the voices?
No.
You know?
Oh, God. Yeah.
No way. That's coming out next weekend. This weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have my Toy Story outfit ready. I'm good to go.
Oh, where are you going
at? I know. It's just a bodysuit that says Toy Story.
Oh, cool.
And the little Pixar thing. Yeah. I'm going by myself, too. I'm still wearing it.
I thought you had like a really elaborate slinky. You know, like costumes. Like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know?
Like, well, I honestly probably won't wear it to the theater. I'll just wear it in my movie review for my YouTube because I heard that it's like so, like the final scenes are like so like
emotional,
to the
right?
Yeah. Like, I know I'm gonna be crying,
tear jerking. So. Yeah, there probably won't be a dry eye, dry in the house.
Did you cry in Toy Story 3?
I cried in every single one of them.
Yeah, I did too.
Are you talking about the one when Andy dropped off the toys?
Yeah.
Wept.
Oh man.
Wept.
In the incinerator, that was where they're all grabbing each other's hands, and I'm like, I know, guys, I know.
Even though you know they're gonna make it because there's still like 25, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You still cry.
I mean, that would be really depressing. It's like 25 minutes of just like, well, that's it.
Yeah.
Right. I wonder why it tugs at your heart, though, when these things happen.
You grew up with them.
No, but I know, but it's like, no, but for them, like, why is it sad to see them part? That's what makes you cry. Not because he's going away, but he's going away, you know, in relation to the toys.
No, I think it's still at that point, you're like, oh, well, we watched Andy grow up too, and now Andy's like this adult, and like, it's just kind of like solidifies when you grow up, you don't have time for like stuff you used to love.
Right, right.
You know? And oh my God, when he dropped off the toys, I was like, I can't do this. I cannot do this. I was in the theater weeping.
Really?
Weeping. Did you guys ever see The Good Dino?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Did you guys cry during that one?
No, not really.
Oh my God, wept.
And when he gets back to his family, that's a spoiler. Like when the little cave boy gets.
Well, that wasn't his family. That was just another cave family.
Another cave family.
Yeah, that was just a random family.
Oh, okay. I don't mean to say like cave.
He got adopted,
like or anything. But like, I just thought I got a little confused.
I cried on that part, and I cried when his dad died.
Oh yeah, that was rough. Yeah.
You know, you probably cried the new Lion King too,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but I mean, cried watching the trailer.
I know.
Oh my gosh,
I know.
So
you know, like lifting the little cub, and
it looks so real.
Yeah, right.
July 19th, I think, or July 12th, something like that.
That's what's gonna be weird is like, you know, watching the original animated. It's like cartoon lions getting beat up and stuff, and animals, and then. This one, we're going to watch like a real lion die.
And like the blood and stuff. Yeah.
We're just going to watch that. I don't know. It's going to be kind of a strange experience.
Yeah. It's
going
to
be weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're taking a story and making it like almost live action. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's different. You know, I mean, they've done it before, but I think with Aladdin, they succeeded, wouldn't you say? Did you see Aladdin?
Yeah.
You guys didn't like it, huh? That face doesn't look like I loved it.
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay. I'll be frank.
He's speechless.
I thought some parts were good. I liked how they did with Jasmine. I thought Naomi Scott killed it. And
she didn't really look Jasmine-y to me, though.
Really?
She didn't look Middle Eastern enough for me.
She's actually completely not Middle Eastern. That probably was part
of
it.
Right. Yeah.
She's like half Indian. So she's kind of a homegirl. So I got to like, you know,
I mean, she's dropped dead gorgeous when she walked down the stairs in that pink dress.
Oh,
I was like, holy shit, homegirl.
Right?
Like, she's fly as hell, but it's just it didn't give me Princess Jasmine.
That's interesting. Like, she was, like, my favorite part. I thought she really did good. And
I mean, she sang well.
Yeah. But I thought the lead did very well. I don't know. He was just so appropriate for the main character.
He had like the dimples, like
yeah,
the cartoon.
You know, and the smile and everything.
Jafar was frustrating. I mean, I think he played a good evil guy. So what didn't you like about it?
Yeah.
Rough thing. You want to take that?
Maybe because it was a musical.
Was there a bird in here?
Yeah.
I thought where I was struggling to connect is obviously I love the original Aladdin. Actually, it was one of my favorite Disney movies growing
up. Same.
Wow. So I felt like a lot of the songs felt like they just got like a remixed version to them rather than originality to
it. Mm.
Which was kind of a struggle. And also the Cape of Wonders was really scary in the original Disney movie. And they just kind of walked past that with this movie in the beginning when they're like singing Arabian Nights.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, there's the cave and it just eats a guy.
Yeah.
And then they just keep going.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like there's some beats that were just opportunities that were completely missed.
I see that.
Well, I don't know if you should compare though. You know, maybe if you just in its own thing. You know, but I understand because fans are fans and they expect certain things.
Like
you know?
Beauty and the Beast, I loved it because I felt like it was exactly like the original.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys like that one? Oh my God! What the hell, man?
I thought this one was better than Beauty and the Beast. I'll agree with that, Beauty and the Beast, when they got to like backstory about her mom dying from the plague, I was like, "Where's Skip?"
Oh
Skip.
Yeah.
What is this?
No,
what
that was we... there was a few scenes they add like a few things they added into the movie where I was like, especially the Beast is a solo song. I was like, we could have definitely done without this, but at least they kept like everything else like pretty.
Yeah.
To the point.
Are you talking about the live action?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you saw it, right?
No, it's very forgettable, I think, right?
Yes.
Oh my God. And I hated Cinderella. They didn't even have the dog Bruno in Cinderella, and he saved the day in the original. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
I didn't see that one.
Oh, you didn't see that?
Well, I mean, she's dropped it gorgeous. It was easy to look at her for Cinderella, even when she was like dirty. I was like, damn, girl. Like, she's really like breathtaking.
Yeah.
But they took out Bruno, and Bruno was like, I named my dog Bruno because of Cinderella.
Really?
And you took him out of the new remake.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was not
I
cool.
didn't realize that. Yeah. Wow, Bruno.
I wish people would come out with more, like, new ideas. I feel like a lot of people are just doing remakes now.
Yeah.
Well, they're running out of ideas. But, I mean, at the same time, look how many ideas there are. Look at how many TV shows there are, you know?
Yeah. It is an explosion of the TV industry.
Right,
for
you know?
Sure.
And remember, it's not just movies, but on the TV series, it's different stories every show.
I just started watching that new show last night, Euphoria.
Yeah.
Oh, how is it?
Oh my God. It's really intense. But I've like never been more like I can't wait till next Sunday so I can watch episode two. But they posted a thing. There's a lot of like graphic scenes in it. If you can't stomach watching it, like with drugs and sex and all that, don't watch the show. Because it's based on drugs in high school and like addiction, basically.
Jeez.
So it's like an overdose scene in the first episode. One of the main characters is a trans. So like you see him taking hormone shots and she goes to a hotel room with a married man and he like fucks her in the ass and it's like really graphic. I'm like, this is really intense for a show.
Mm-hmm.
But then and I didn't know, I thought she was a female. Uh-huh. And at the very end, she's like having a conversation, but she has underwear on and she has a dick. So I'm like, now I get it. Because he made a comment about fucking her in the ass, but I didn't get it. I was like, I don't understand that. It's because she's a trans, but she's also playing a trans in the show.
Wow.
Yeah. It's intense. It's really addicting. I'm like, next Sunday.
What platform is it on?
HBO.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They come up with some good stuff, actually. That's true.
Yeah, shows are more popping right now. Movies, it's like, what's happening?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
TV shows like cultural events. Like everyone was there for when Game of Thrones.
I didn't watch that ever.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what people, what's water cooler talk now is TV
people,
shows.
Yeah,
TV
like
shows,
people getting addicted and like Big Little Lies is a big thing now.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to that show too.
Really? Mm-hmm. You like it?
Mm-hmm. That show also had really intense rape scenes.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, they're getting pretty graphic on TV because
even on like not HBO or anything, just regular TV, like if your kid is scrolling and puts on Fox at 10 p.m. on like a Friday night, there's some shit going on there.
Are
you
serious?
Like when I was a kid, that stuff was not playing.
No, you could not have that.
Like How to Get Away with Murder had to take it. They had to like release a statement that they're going to put less sex in it because it was like the whole first season was like just fucking.
It was.
Yeah, and I was like, I mean, I love the show. It's like one of my favorites, but the first scene, it's better now because they took out less, it's like less sex.
Right.
It's just too much for me for TV.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, if you want that kind of sex, you watch porn, you know?
Yeah. You know, yeah, the only thing they're not showing is like the vagina and the dick.
Exactly. Why would I want to watch it that way?
It's the cinematography, you know? Yeah, really. Yeah, yeah. Unless you have some really nice lighting, it's hard to get in the mood, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I don't really want to watch 45 minutes of this and then 15 minutes of what's actually happening in the show. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, they fixed that, but they had to like release a statement about it because people were complaining.
Yeah. Wow. So the last few minutes I want to spend on your movie.
Sure.
So you say now it's set in 1961, right? And there, you filmed it in Northern Cal. Is that where you filmed it? But they're on their way to Oregon, right? Mm-hmm. On a road trip or something.
Yeah.
So where in North Cal do they, does this happen about?
Yeah, it's there's a place called Mount Shasta in northern Northern California.
Right.
It's just maybe like it's 1 hour from the border or something. Mm-hmm. It's pretty far north.
Border to what?
Oregon. Oregon.
Oh,
to Oregon.
Oh, shit.
And Mount Shasta is like one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to. It's really cool. If you look up pictures, it's a volcano. It's dormant for now. But
yeah, for now.
It's not attached really to a mountain range. So it's just kind of like lowlands and then this big fucking volcano.
Right, like we're
right
flat.
Off the road. Yeah.
And then, yeah.
It's stunning. You've never seen anything like it. And you can drink water directly from the river. Like it's the Sacramento Headwaters go through there. So you can just, people just bring like jugs of water
and
fill
drink
up directly.
From the stream and stuff.
It's such a cool feeling because you just can't do that anywhere. Like if you went to the LA River, and I mean, you never make it out. You die. That little piddle that kind of goes in the middle of the concrete. Yeah.
You come out as like a Simpsons fish. With
So it's so cool, and it's a very kooky town.
Yeah.
And like everyone there kind of casually knows that aliens visit Mount Shasta.
Right.
And we were like getting water at the headwaters, and I was just talking to a woman there, and it's like a Japanese woman, and she's like, yes, I come every few years from, I live in I think like Osaka or Kyoto or something, and I come every few years to visit Mount Shasta and see the aliens. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And she's like, yes, you said you were there yesterday? And I was like, yeah. She's like, did you see any aliens? I was like, you know, tell you what, I think we just missed them. We just missed them. But you've seen them? She's like, yes. And the kind of like seriousness of like someone saying like, hey, does this Safeway have Oreos? And they're like, yes, it does.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I believe some people. Either that or they're just literally nuts.
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, it's hard to say.
I mean, I think we're all a little crazy, but I wouldn't be like the crazy going around saying, well, last night was crazy, Doug. I just got abducted by aliens, and now I'm back to tell you the story.
Yeah.
I mean,
But let me ask you this. Just the mere distances to other planets, to other stars. Do you think anybody could reach this far? Another civilization?
I think so. I mean, and I said, I say to him all the time, Sam, if there's life on Earth.
Because you're talking about light years here, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, we have spaceships that go to Mars.
Well, that's nothing.
No, okay,
Mars
but what,
is,
so, what if,
is nothing.
But what if there's something coming from something sooner? We don't know if those are the only seven planets.
No.
Or nine or eight,
no,
whatever.
But those
how many
are the,
are there.
Yeah, those are the closest.
They keep changing it.
From seven to ten, somewhere around
there. Yeah, it's like, we don't know if those are the only planets. Like, who knows?
These are planets in the solar system. They're relatively close to us. What I'm saying is the universe is so much bigger than this, and we know that at least, you know, what we're seeing at least, we don't see any life. So, but there could be beyond. The question is, would they be advanced enough to be able to fly all the way here in a reasonable period of time,
you know?
Or maybe they have it like in the movie Alien, where they actually sort of like hibernate for a while, right? And then who knows?
That
you
movie
know,
is that new then when they also made a remake was terrible.
Yeah,
the new Alien.
Oh god, it was so bad.
It.
I watched
which
it on
one?
A
the
flight.
Last one, the
newest one.
Yeah, I forgot
what
it's called.
What the hell? I mean, the main guy was good.
Really,
looking,
so I shouldn't
so it was, like,
see
easy
it?
To like watch it, but it was. I literally watched it. I was like, what did I just, I just spent 2 hours on this flight.
Right.
And it's one of those movies that's so bad that you have to like continue watching it to see how bad it gets.
Right. And similarly, I watched, not Alien, but the other one, Prometheus. Have you seen that one?
No.
And that one is a total copy of Alien, of the first one.
I mean, they're all copies
though,
really.
Right. You know, but it's like, I'm like, really? Is this all there is? You know, I thought it'd be really good. You know?
I think the last good Alien was probably Alien vs. Predator. It was just because it was like Freddy vs. Jason. You just see two bad guys trying to kill each other. It's like, okay. This is new.
All right, guys. Well, we are out of time. Let's summarize everything. So the movie is The Bunbury Encounter. And
basically, you can't watch it anywhere right now.
Right, not yet, unless you go to Palm Springs.
In the theaters, yeah.
In Palm Springs only,
so
though,
you guys
right?
get to travel.
For now, for now. There's going to be a lot more places.
There's other places it'll be playing.
Is there a website where they can check up updates?
TheBunburyEncounter.com. It'll have a listing of all the places we're going to be screening. Yeah.
That's easy enough.
Yeah.
Wow, very cool. I mean, I'm excited to see this. You guys are going to have to send me a link or something.
Can you send
Yeah, you guys can see it.
Yeah,
of course.
We're all friends now, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about it, but we won't give away anything because you don't want to spoil it for people. You know, it's just if they haven't seen it yet, we're not going to spoil it.
See, if I watch movies outside of the theater, I always Google the ending. I'll still watch it even if I don't, if it's not an ending I like, but I always Google, so that's why I'm like starting to go. I just got the movie pass and I can see a movie a day. I'm actually gonna go today.
Nice.
Wait, movie pass isn't now doing a movie a day?
It's a movie a day.
Yeah.
You can watch 30 movies a month.
What?
For $20.
That's the way it always was.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just was for less money.
For
half the price.
I think the AMC card, it's only three movies a week.
Yeah. Right.
But with the movie pass, it's a movie a day. So I think I'm going to go see The Dead Don't Die, the Selena Gomez new movie.
Oh, yeah.
It looks kind of funny. So I'm like, I'm a big fan of Bill Murray. So I'm like, let me.
Oh, he's in it?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
He hasn't been in something in a while. So.
Yeah, that's true.
And that guy from Girls, what's his name?
Adam Driver.
Oh, God. He's like cute in a good, like a. In like a weird way, but you know, like
yeah,
I would definitely date him, but I think he's married.
I would too.
So we would all date him. Yeah. All right. Well, Jay and Roth, thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Real quick, could I shout out the crew for the movie?
Of course.
The movie is only possible because the people who worked on it, cinematographer Jerome Stolle, production designer Mike Embry Wilmot. Costume designer Ashley Leaf and makeup and hair Delina In. So thank you to all of them.
Yeah. Shout out to you guys.
Yes.
So wait, before we go, I know we're running over. But what's next?
What's next
for you?
Good question. Yeah. What are we allowed to talk about?
Okay, they can't.
Oh, they
okay.
can't.
Fuck it. We don't have time anyway. All right, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Danny.
You're welcome.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.